Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel lesson which has been read from Mark chapter 5. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Mark's gospel keeps Jesus, well, moving at a quick pace. In the beginning of the gospel, it's always everything happens immediately, if you notice that. And he's walking into the miraculous events one after another as Mark is trying to write for Gentile, for actually Roman readers, so that it would keep them interested. And so there's this constant flow of action in Mark's gospel. Just look from Mark 2 until today's text. Jesus heals a paralytic. After that, he calls Levi, Matthew, and a few interactions with the Pharisees. He heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, has another dispute with the religious leaders, followed by the calming of the storm. He cast out the demons who are in the one guy named, demons call themselves Legion. They go into the pigs. They jump off the cliff. We learn that pigs don't swim, even though they do. And these pigs drowned. With these demons at Gennesaret, and now Jesus is heading across to the other side because the people in town said, we don't want you around here anymore, Jesus, because the pigs had died, apparently, not because the man was healed. And it brings us to today's text with the two health issues. You have a 12-year-old little girl who was, well, near death, and then, as the text says, dies, and a woman who had been fighting with a health issue as long as this little girl's been alive, for 12 years. And I didn't have opportunity this week to get more into the 12, if there was more meaning to this than just the time frame. But they run, both of them, smack dab into Jesus, the life-giving, health-restoring Savior of all mankind. Jesus, the Savior, who knows people's pains. As our text begins, Jesus begins being swarmed by the people and on his way to help Jairus' daughter. The text tells us that Jairus was a powerful man, a ruler in the synagogue. Yet, as we all know, when our loved ones are dying, when despair has fallen upon us, well, it doesn't allow us to have our pride, does it? So Jairus falls at Jesus' feet and he pleads for his mercy, pleads for him to help him. You can hear the desperation in the father's words. My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. And in the middle of all of this, and Jesus heading off to help Jairus and his little daughter, this woman reaches out of utter desperation and touches Jesus' garment. She had been ill for 12 years with a horrible issue. Not only was she physically struggling with this, right? The text says there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse. Those of you who had any sickness in your life probably understand a little bit about going to the doctors and not getting better. Especially when it's your loved ones who have been going for an issue that they really can't do anything about, and it ends up ending their life, that issue, that is. Things were getting much worse for her, because either, and it's possible, she could have been a 12-year-old when this hit, and then for the next 12 years of her life, by the time she's 24, she's had this her whole adult life, if you will, which would have made her not eligible for marrying. You see, she wouldn't have been a candidate for marrying because she wouldn't have been somebody who could bear children. And had she gotten it later in life and been married, she would have been a candidate for divorce because, again, she wouldn't have been able to bear children. And that's pretty bad, and the illness is pretty bad. But then, to make matters much worse, under the Levitical law, from Leviticus chapter 15, she was spiritually unclean and would not have been able to come to the temple. she would have been forbidden from public worship. She's abandoned by all. We don't quite understand that. We may feel that way from time to time. For today, we come with our own lists of struggles. Some your pastors are well aware of, and others you choose to deal with between just you and God privately. And that's okay. But struggling with disease and their treatment, seeking comfort and understanding at the passing of a loved one, struggling to make ends meet at the end of each month, and this list of struggles that we all deal with in life can go on and on and on. But please understand, when Jesus lets us know that he feels our pain, it's not a campaign speech. He's not being a politician. He knows our despair. He knows our suffering. He knows our struggles. And he truly cares. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 118, "The Lord is on our side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" This is a call to be of good cheer. God is with you. Yet it's easier said than done, isn't it? Especially when things just aren't quite going the way you want them to go. But Jesus has promised us he will never leave us or forsake us. Even when that leaving and forsaking meant he had to die on the cross. For there he bears our greatest problem and the source of all our struggles in this life, physical, mental, everything, sin. And there he swallows up the wages of sin, death, and through his resurrection declares it all for us. Today in our hearing, we are witnesses of Jesus' passion for his people. We witness the passion of Jesus in his response to Jairus and his response to the woman. Think about this. Jesus is being hurried by Jairus to go to his daughter to heal her. And in the crowd, somebody reaches out and touches him, touching the hem of his garment. And he feels power go out from him. She's healed and Jesus stops. You imagine Jairus at that point? "Come on, Jesus, we've got to go. My daughter's dying. Hurry up, please." And Jesus is like, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, "What do you mean? Everybody's touching you." Right? But he stops. You see, that's the frustrating point for us and the lovely point when we understand in God's time, Jesus never has to rush. And it's frustrating because we would like him to rush sometimes. Especially when we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus. Just come. This will be fine. It's fine to go now." The disciples are taken aback by the question. And then this woman confesses what had happened. And Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And to Jairus, Jesus says, "Do not fear, only believe." Even when the crowds come out and say, "Don't bother him anymore, she's dead." You see, that's one of the struggles in the text, because Jairus was a leader in the synagogue. He would have had professional mourners on standby. That was a big thing, right? The more people mourning the loss of your loved one, the more you really cared for them and the more important they really were. So they paid people to be professional mourners. Not a job I really am interested in any way, shape, or form. But these people would have definitely known what death looked like. But learn from this. Learn from this text. Proof that God is never too busy for your concerns, for your struggles. as we approach him through God-given faith, you don't have to find another door or a helper to get you in. God has provided it all. As the Holy Spirit creates faith and pleads on our behalf, the Son prays our behalf and pleads our case before the Father, and the Father wants only that which is good and right for you. And so to patients and parents pleading for health and healing, come to Jesus and his healing touch as he comes for all, joining his holy and all-powerful word to the earthly elements of water and personally washing away our sins, raising us to new life with him. As Paul writes in Titus 3, or as we hear in Titus 3, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Having then been raised from the death of sin, we now hear our Lord telling us to eat. Isn't that interesting? As you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, when people get raised from the dead, what's one of the first things they're told, their family is told to do? Give them something to eat. It didn't hit me until Thursday night when I was dealing with the text in the sermon, but that's what we practice every week. We come into God's house together and we confess that we're dead in our sins. We're absolved of our sins, brought back to life, and then we're given something to eat. Christ's very body and blood that reassures that forgiveness of sins. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation for all. As we are made then witnesses of Jesus' power in the hearing of our text today, Jesus arrives at Jairus' house and he tells the mourners, get out of here. He doesn't even let them come. He shows them their ignorance, knowing that death has to flee in the presence of the Lord of life. For those who believe in Jesus, death is merely a nap. Just as he said about the little girl, she's only sleeping. We say this about all believers in Jesus, because death is swallowed up in the Word made flesh and his victorious third day resurrection. The Word made flesh raises Jairus' daughter to life with the word Talitha cum, which simply means, little girl, I say to you, arise. Jesus need only to speak, and she has life and health. The daughter is both healed and raised. Witness the power and mercy of God. As the woman is healed by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, simply by touching his garment, and he restored her. The very word that created life in the beginning continues to make all things new in himself. The very word spoken when there was nothing is the very word spoken to you today in the hearing of the scriptures as they're read and proclaimed, as baptisms are performed and the Lord's Supper and absolution is given. These touches of Jesus bring life and an eternal. Remember what you learned in the small catechism. What is the benefit of the eating and drinking? These words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And while we marvel at the hearing of such miracles, we dare not forget that the greatest of all miracles is Jesus' victory over sin. And in his victory over sin, it is death and the devil who are defeated. He's the one who rose on the third day so that we can know that death is only a nap, that it's merely sleeping. We are redeemed and restored and now in right relationship with the Father, all because of the Son. We who have been made disciples of our Lord by grace through God-given faith are given then the privilege to be His witnesses as we go out and share the Lord's unending passion for His people and His power, as only Jesus can and will remove the cause of all pain, that is sin. So may we always live as His forgiven and life-given people and have peace in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.